This is Equestrian Legacy Radio's Campfire Cafe. I'm your host, Gary Holt. Today we visit with legendary singer-songwriter Lacey J. Dalton, and we talk with Eddie Floyd, host of America Matters AM News. And we'll be talking about how you can help save America's wild horses. The Campfire Cafe is made possible by our sponsors in the General Store and the gallery at East of Santa Fe. You'll find everything for the horse lover and folks that love the equestrian lifestyle at the gallery at East of Santa Fe and in the General Store at equestrianlegacy.net. Grab a cup of coffee and join us. And when we come back, we'll be talking with Lacey J. Dalton. Lacey J. Dalton is one of the most recognizable voices in music, with hits worldwide too numerous to mention. Lacey, welcome to the show.
Hey, Gary. It's nice to be here.
Well, we've looked forward to having you on, and we're going to play a lot of your music today. And I told you earlier, I just had a difficult time deciding which ones to play. They're all so great.
Well, I'm flattered, and I'm glad you enjoy the music. You know, I was just listening. I hadn't listened to the original of Black Coffee in a long time, and it's surprising how much my voice has changed since that time, and I actually think it's better now. my voice is kind of it's a little bit lower, and it, and it's the spread of it's a little bit broader, and I, it's more pleasing to me from the inside out. I don't know what people. I've had people say, you know, I think your voice is better now than it ever was, and I think it is. It's changed quite a bit. That happens as we get older, you know, and thank God, you know, I've been able to really keep my voice. A lot of people are not that fortunate, and I have been very, very fortunate to be able to make my living doing this music for a very long time.
Well, we're fortunate in that as well, and I'd have to agree. I think your voice has gotten richer and probably stronger than it was early on, but just absolutely great music. And
thank you.
You know, we talk about horses, and we're going to be talking about horses more in the last segment of the show when Eddie joins us. But share with us a little bit about your early horse background.
Well, you know, I always loved horses. And I remember when I was a little kid, I would go to visit my grandfather's farm, and I would just the whole way up there, I would pray that when I got there, there would be a horse. When I was just a little kid, 6 or 7 years old. And lo and behold, one Sunday when we were driving up into the country, into the mountains to see my grandfather, I ran out to the barn, as I always did. And in the barn was a big roan workhorse. And I had just visualized a horse being in that barn for so many years as a little kid. And when there finally was a horse there, I was so tickled to death to see that horse. And my grandfather had a big bin of feed of grain. It was one of those big, wonderful old barns that they have in Pennsylvania. And we didn't know any better. We were just little kids, and I loved the horse so much. One time, I just went and just kept pouring grain into his feeder from the thing, and that horse got sick. And my grandfather said, I ought to bend you over my knee and beat you for – he said I had to walk that horse for 3 days.
Oh, goodness.
But that was one of my first experiences. And then my sister had a riding academy, had a riding stable. She had a partner, and they had a riding stable, and I got to ride the new horses when they would come in. And of course, I never knew what I was doing. We never really had riding lessons. We just got up there and did it. And I got to ride all kinds of horses. A lot of times they would go to the sale where these horses would be going for slaughter.
Right.
And they would pick out the ones that they thought were good, rideable, usable horses, and they'd bring them back to their farm. And I'd go out to the barn on the weekends, and I'd see a new horse in the stall and go in and, you know, get that horse and take it out and see what it was about. And I learned a lot about, you know, horses are about as different as human beings. They all have different gaits. They have different personality, way different personalities. I mean, they have as many different personalities as we do, and I learned a lot about how sensitive a horse can be. And I have to tell you, I visited a horse sanctuary in California 2 weekends ago, and I learned about something they're doing there for wounded soldiers, warriors, men and women from Iraq and Afghanistan and Vietnam. They are working with wild horses. They say that domestic horses are good at this, and we know that domestic horses, we always say the outside of a horse is good for the inside of a man.
Right.
And or a child, because some of the autistic kids that are riding horses out here in our Kids and Horses programs, it's the first time they ever speak or have any sense of real focus about who they are and what they're doing. There's something about a horse. And this last weekend, I learned something even more innovative and new. I went to visit a ranch where they bring these wounded warriors, and they will let them walk out into a field of wild horses. That these horses are not entirely wild because people have been around them for a while, but they're not really trained horses, and they don't have any equipment on them.
Right.
And that soldier will sit in the middle of the field, man or woman, and one of those horses, and it's not always the same one, in fact, it's hardly ever the same one, will walk up to that soldier and begin to sniff around him. They put their noses down and start sort of sharing breath with the soldier.
Right.
And something happens, and it's a very, they tell me that the process is very quick. They had a gentleman who had very, very bad PTSD. He was a psychotherapist. And when he came back from Iraq and Afghanistan, he had such horrible guilt that he wouldn't take his dark glasses off. His long marriage was dissolving. He was not sociable. They worked with him for about, a year and a half with domestic horses and couldn't get a breakthrough. And they asked this facilitator that I met 2 weekends ago if he would please just try one more time with this man. And so they took this man out into the field, and this one old mare who had had a tremendous amount of trauma herself walked up to this man, taking breath with him. And then the facilitator, Joaquin, said to the soldier, this horse would like you to touch her. And he stayed way back. He said the more he stays out of it, the better it is. The man reached up and touched the horse and began to pet her. And then he took off his glasses. And then he put his arms around her neck and began to sob.
Oh, wow.
And in one session, they came so far that man, that psychotherapist, is now using this same therapy with his brothers and sisters in arms himself. So this is a brand new, and I've always, horses are incredibly intuitive animals and incredibly sensitive. And these kinds of things sound airy-fairy, but they're really not. They're really getting results. And there is some kind of, as we grow in consciousness, we begin to realize that there are, there's a lot more to what's going on this earth than we generally are aware of in our struggle just to get through every day to make a living and take care of our loved ones and so on and so forth. And these kinds of new technologies that are breaking through are incredibly hopeful. It's the same reason why we need to preserve the rainforest, because every day they are finding herbs that really do help cancer. And that's disappearing at a football field a day. And I am an incredible conservation. I am an incredible. My father was a conservationist. My father was an NRA instructor. He was a sharpshooter and an excellent archer. And he instructed other people in these things. And he was an incredible conservationist. He was a dedicated conservationist. If you ever threw anything on the ground around my father, like if you ate a candy bar and if you had thrown the package on the ground, you wouldn't have been able to walk for a week. I mean, he learned how to field dress cigarettes. He smoked, unfortunately. It was in, of course, the Second World War, and he was a prisoner in a German prison camp for a year and a half. And he smoked. I think the cigarettes were probably all that kept him going sometimes in those prison camps. Right. And he was there for the liberation of some of the German prison camps for the Jewish prisoners. And he had he was totally dedicated to preserving the earth and the animals, though he was a hunter. But we never wasted one thing from those animals that he killed. And they were killed. He had respect for them. And at the end of his life, he told me a story. He had gone out into the woods, and he'd gone hunting, and a beautiful white-tailed buck with a big rack came over while he was sitting up against a tree. And that buck came over and sniffed him in hunting season, was curious about him, came up to him and sniffed him. And he said, "Honey, I just couldn't shoot him." He said, "I just couldn't do it." And he said, "Now I know that the real," and he was later a guide on a hunting preserve. That's what he did toward the end of his life, the last 20 years of his life. And he was the head guide. And for him to say that, and he, at the end of his life, he told me, it's really more about getting close enough to get that great photograph now for me than it is about, anything else. So I was born into a consciousness of conservation. I am not a hunter because I just can't do it. I can't eat. I figure I'm not allowed to eat meat because I can't kill the animals. I couldn't do it. So I'd have to be starving to death before I'd, be able to kill a cow. I mean, and if I were starving to death, I might kill a cow. But I've never been that hungry in my life, and I haven't had meat for 30 years, and I'm
Know,
and I'm not a thin person. You know what I mean? Like,
right. Right.
I have, you know, I figure elephants don't have to eat meat, and they're big, so they're my role model. But I don't, you know, I don't discriminate against people who do that. I mean, it's just that this is just where I am in my journey, and I really love animals, and that's why I've dedicated so much of my life to preserving and protecting the wild horses, particularly here in Nevada, where we have more of them than we do anywhere else.
Right. Well, it's funny. I was talking with someone last night, Lacey, about the fact that I purchased a calf one time, and I bought that calf to fatten up and to use for meat. And I had the calf out in the pasture with the horses, and it came up to eat when the horses did, and then I named the calf Rosie. And when it was time for her to go to slaughter, I couldn't do it. I said, you just cannot name your food and eat it. And so...
Well, a lot of people can do that. I know a lot of very fine people who are very good to their animals and give them a good life and then can use them for food. I'm not able to do that, so I don't eat meat. I just, you know, that's just how it's rolled down the pike for me. But there are people, and very kind and compassionate people, who raise animals. They have a wonderful life while they're alive, and then they are able to do that. I think if you are able to do that and you feel good about doing that before your conscience, before that part of God that's inside you, then I think that's fine. I mean, I'm sure that, you know, that is a natural thing, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that I personally, in my when I go inside to where my conscience is, I go, no, you can't. That's not for you. You can't do that.
Right, right, right. Well, I think that when we talk about horses, when we talk about caring for the earth, when we talk about any of our livestock, we have to be respectful and caring for everything that's been given to us to enjoy. And that's just hugely important. And it's something that we need to be aware of. And we need to be aware of the things that are disappearing, like the wild horses and like our rainforest, and become engaged and involved in that. We're going to talk more about the wild horses in our next segment. But I want to play one of your great songs, and we posted this actually on Facebook the other day. And I had so many comments on this song, and a couple of folks said, if you don't play this, we're going to come looking for you. And this is a great song called Slip Away. And,
thank you.
Yeah, and I know this was a huge hit for you. And
this song has a history. It was rejected by four major record companies in Nashville, and at four different times it was rejected. One person said it sounds Chinese. And, you know, the thing was, I always believed in the song. So when I became an independent artist, which is why most of y'all think I'm dead, I'm just such a cussed little thing that I insisted this be the first song that I recorded. And I have to tell you, it went on to go number one on the World Country Independent chart. It took the CD Last Wild Place Anthology with it to number one. A year and a half later, it went number one on the American Western Music chart, and it took the CD with it. And
wow.
Then Allison Eastwood, Clint Eastwood's daughter, used it in her film Don't Tell, almost the whole song. This song was written by two friends of mine. They called me up in the middle of the night one night and said, this is a perfect Lacey J. Dalton song. You need to sing this. And I said, well, it better be good. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. And I heard it, and it is the perfect. I never get tired of singing this song. I love it. It's just a great song, and audiences have loved it everywhere. Slip Away.
Well, we're going to listen to that when we come back. We want to talk more about the music part of your life, and look forward to talking about that and some changes that are going on in the music industry as well. So this is Slip Away by Lacey J. Dalton. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio.
Thank you. just need a friend. Sometimes you just need someone on whom you can depend. Sometimes the heart gets hungry and you're just too weak to fight. You go out and find a stranger to help you keep away the night. Love's elusive as a shadow, love's as restless as the wind. Don't try to hold on, it'll slip away. It's so hard to choose between the ones who really love you and the ones who say they do. Don't stop looking till you find it. Don't stop looking till you do. Might be out there in the distance, might be standing next to you. Love's elusive as a shadow, love's as restless as the wind. Don't try to hold on, it'll slip away. Heart gets hungry and it must be fed again. Love's elusive as a shadow, love's as restless as the wind. Don't try to hold on, it'll slip away. Slip away
again. Talking with Lacey J. Dalton, and that's a great song, Slip Away, that just proves that Music Row executives don't always know what they're talking about.
Well, and sometimes they do. And nobody's right all the time, but four of them were wrong about that song, I think very wrong. And I knew that because I had been playing it, and I knew what happened when I played that song for people. They were so moved, and they would always request it. And I played it for years without getting sick of singing it, and that's a pretty good test of a song.
It's a great test. And I'll tell you, the last several days, I've just played that so many times that I think I almost know it.
Have you really? It's like that. It's that kind of a song, and it does grow on you. And I'm very touched I was able to finally do that song, and that the public proved to me that I did know a good song now and again. So I'm just continually grateful, and every time I sing it, I'm grateful.
Well, it's a great song. We've talked a little bit about horses, but let's talk about how you got started in music, and when did you make the decision that that's what you wanted to do?
You know, it's kind of a funny story. My mother and sister and dad all played music, and they went out and played music, and I was the unmusical one in the family. Some people may say that's still the truth, but I just remember them. We had a big round kitchen table, and I used to sit underneath, up against the leg of the table, which was a center sort of a pedestal.
Right.
And I would listen to it. I would sit under there and listen to it. And I always, always enjoyed listening to them. But I didn't really participate. I just wanted to hear what they were doing. And then we had a play at my high school when I was, in 11th or 12th grade, and it called for a part with a guitar, and nobody's family had one but mine. So I said, Daddy, can I borrow a guitar? Can I take it and be in for this play that I'm doing? And he showed me a few chords, and, of course, I was just horrible. You know, I couldn't remember how to play it at all. But we used the guitar in that play, and that was the first time. I probably was 16 or 17 years old when I picked it up for the first time and went, oh, this is kind of fun. And years before, I had an experience in a bathtub. I was sitting, we had an old clawfoot bathtub in this old house we lived in Pennsylvania, and I was sitting in the bathtub after I had gone to see Cinderella at the movies, you know, the Disney movie Cinderella.
Right,
and I was sitting
right.
in the bathtub with about 2 inches of water, and I went, I know you, I walked with you once upon a dream. And I went, oh, I can do that. And that was like a realization, oh, that's not that hard, I can do that. And then it wasn't until I was probably 17 or 18 years old that I actually began learning a few chords, and since I couldn't play anybody else's songs because I couldn't remember how to, being the raving dyslexic that I am, I started writing my own songs right away. And
oh,
they, of course,
wow.
They were horrible. They were just terrible. But I enjoyed it, and I still wasn't thinking about it as a career because I wanted to be and probably am more emotionally suited to what I had originally wanted to do, which was to be a wildlife illustration person. I wanted to do, you know, paint deer and elk and bear, and you know, that's what I wanted to do with my life. So when I went to college, I went to art school, and I found that I was having more joy. I used to clean the toilets at the university where I went to school in the middle of the night in the art department. It had the most amazing art department. I was out in Provo, Utah, at the Mormon school there. And I went there because I was interested in that religion at the time. I was exploring all kinds of spiritual beliefs, and that
Right.
was an interesting one to me. I knew some wonderful people who were Mormons, and so I decided, because the tuition was only something like $250 a year for non-Mormons.
Oh, wow.
And they had an art department that was unbelievable. You could sink a ship on their stages, and you know, they had airplanes and flying gear and wonderful art classes. And I would clean the bathrooms in that huge entertainment, that huge theater section and arts department at night from 3 until 7 in the morning.
My.
After I would get all the cleaning done, you know, the maintenance done, I would go out onto the stage, onto this big stage, and turn on the microphone and sing to that big empty auditorium. And I realized then – what the calling was. And I realized that it was, you know, it was not something I chose. And I never had that thing of, oh, I really want to be a star. That came much later when I realized I had to make a living, you know. But I didn't have that thing, oh, I really, you know, I really want to be a star. But I realized that music was a wonderful way to communicate things that I thought were important to other people. And
right.
And to give people hope. To get this world is not an easy place to be in. Some people will say that it is, but I think it's a beautiful and a terrible place, and I don't think it's our real home. And I think that we need always to have people giving us the courage to keep going through the hard times. And people are having terrible hard times now. People are losing
right.
their jobs and their homes and their businesses, their families. And, you know, of course, there's the heartbreak of families who lose children to disease or accidents. You know, this is not easy. This is not an easy place to be in. And we have to remember that we are spirits having a physical experience. You know, we're spiritual beings having a material experience.
Right.
This isn't the end of the road. This isn't what we're doing to experience and teach ourselves about ourselves. And I think it's important that we be reminded of that. And that's what my music does. My music, that's why I do music.
Well, it's you have great songs. And, you know, as you were talking about that, I think really, personally for me in life, there have been two things that were always extremely satisfying, and that was music and horses. And so it's great to be able to incorporate both of those things in your life, and they both have a great effect on our lives and our emotions.
And our spirit.
And it's just tremendous. When did you become a professional?
Well, almost right away. I just started singing, and then people would say, well, why don't you go up to the local bar and sing and they'll pay you? And so I learned a bunch of folk songs, and I learned a bunch of the, you know, New Christy Minstrels and Joan Baez and Bob Dylan, and I learned that as well as knowing a lot of very, very solid country songs by Hank Williams Sr.
Right.
And some of the popular country music. So I had a mix, and I still do that. I still play. In fact, a few years ago, I made a tribute to Hank Sr. called Here's to Hank. And
mm-hmm.
we did 12 of Hank Sr.'s songs because people love them. That is in the Great American Songbook. And any place you sing that, and oddly, it doesn't matter the age of the audience. It really doesn't. Everybody knows the words to those songs. So I put that in, and then I might do a song like Slip Away, and then I might do something like our new song, which is called Next to Me, which is a song that was written by a Scottish songwriter named Emily Sandé. She did a pop version that has 43 million hits
Goodness.
On the Internet, and it has been a huge hit for her. But it wasn't. I didn't think it was so accessible to the Americana and country audience, and I thought the song was so strong. You won't find him drinking at the table, rolling dice or staying out till 3. You will never find him beyond faithful. You will find him next to me.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just a really strong male-affirming lyric, which you don't hear.
Right.
You know, you really don't hear male-affirming, you know, at least to affirm the behavior of males who are faithful to their marriages and who are faithful to their families. You don't hear that a lot. So I
right.
heard this, and I thought the world is going to love this song. So I've put it out for the Americana and the folk and the country audience in a format that I think will be more accessible to them. Because I think the message is so wonderful. It's just, you know, when I've lost everything, you're going to be there. You've got my back, and it's really a great thing.
Well, it's a great song. I listened to that this morning, and it's a tremendous song. And I wanted to have that song for this show today, but I didn't. And so that just means that you're going to have to come back and visit with us again so we can do that song. But
well, in the
song,
meantime, I think it's on YouTube and Facebook, so they can hear it there, and they can hear Emily's version, which is very, very wonderful, you know, a very wonderful version. The only reason that I thought it would be smart to cover this song is I could bring it to the people who perhaps don't listen to pop music.
Right. Well, it's a great song. There's another song, and this one I was told that if we didn't play it, they would send a posse and a hangman. And so I think I can probably guess what that song is because of the world.
Yeah, because of the worldwide popularity of Tom Skyler's great song, 16th Avenue.
Right, and it's really interesting. This is such a small world. I've met Tom a couple of times, and actually I saw him do this on the National Network's family reunion, where they had a writer's night.
Oh,
and,
how wonderful. And he sings it. You know, I learned how to sing it from him.
Yeah, he did
I listened to the way he sang the song, and I often do that with writers. If a writer has an interpretation of a song that they've written and I like that interpretation, a lot of times I will take a lot from that writer because, after all, it's their song. And I did that with Black Coffee. I sang it the way that Even Stevens and Hillary Cantor wanted it to be sung. And Hillary Cantor is the other writer on Black Coffee besides Even Stevens is a fabulous singer. She's there in Nashville. I don't know if you've ever heard her, but she's a fabulous singer. And so I listen to their ideas about how to sing their song. And I do that often. If, of course, you know, and a lot of songwriters are not good singers. And sometimes you have to really pick the wheat from the chaff when you're listening. Because sometimes the greatest songwriters of all cannot sing.
So you have
even more freedom. Joan Baez did that with Bob Dylan songs.
Oh, wow. Wow.
She brought a lot of Bob Dylan songs to the public with her beautiful voice because his style and voice were so foreign for a long time to a lot of people. Of course, now we know what Bob is going to do, you know, but back then we didn't.
Right. Well, let's listen to 16th Avenue, and we're talking with Lacey J. Dalton on Equestrian Legacy Radio, and I can see that our good friend Eddie Floyd is listening in on the line as well, so we're going to be bringing Eddie on in just a little bit, but this is 16th Avenue, and we'll be back to talk more with Lacey in just a moment.
From the corners of the country, from the cities and the farms, with years and years of living topped up underneath their arms, walk away from everything just to see a dream come true. So God bless the boys who make the noise on 16th Avenue. With a million-dollar spirit and an old flat-top guitar, they drive to town with all they own in a $100 car. 'Cause one time someone told them about a friend of a friend they knew who owns, you know, a studio on 16th Avenue. Now some are born to money, they've never had to say survive, and others swing a 9-pound hammer just to stay alive. They're cowboys, drunks, and Christians, mostly white and black and blue. They've all dialed a phone, collect a home in 16th Avenue. Ah, but then one night in some empty room where no curtains ever hung, like a miracle, some golden words rolled off of someone's tongue. And after years of being nothing, they're all looking right at you. And and for a while you'll go in style on 16th Avenue. Oh, it looks so uneventful, so quiet and discreet, but a lot of lives were changed down on that little one-way street. They walk away from everything just to sing for me and you. So God bless the boys who made the noise on 16th Avenue. And God bless all the girls who make the noise down on 16th Avenue. From the corners of the country, from the cities and the farms, with the years and years of living tucked up underneath their arms.
Well, Lacey, I guess that is a song that people kind of call your signature song. It was such a great hit for you. And so much more music that I was talking to somebody yesterday, and their house flooded up in Missouri a couple of months ago, and they were crying over the fact that all of their Lacey J. Dalton CDs were in that flood, and they lost everything. That's what they complained about. They said I lost.
Well,
all
you
my
just
Lacey
tell them to
J.
call
Dalton.
Bob. Give Bob's number and see if Bob can help them out.
Well, I will pass that on to them. They'll be.
That's our web
that.
Guy, Bob Retzer.
And Bob was great to get this music to me yesterday, so appreciate that.
He's a great guy. He has been with me quite a long time, and he's really wonderful, and he understands computers, and I have no idea. I am challenged by email, and that is just really the truth. I am like a techno peasant from hell.
Well, you're great, and this time has flown by. I know that we want to get you on for just a little bit with Eddie as well, because we're going to talk about some exciting things that are coming on, and I also know you have some other engagements. Before we go over to Eddie, you do have a concert that's coming up this Saturday, I believe, in Gardnerville, Nevada. Is that correct?
Yes, I do. We have that is a fun show. That is Bill and Rocky's Rockin' Ribs show, and it is to raise money for skin care, kids that get really terrible cancers on their skin, and it's to raise awareness that, you know, now the ozone layer is so thin on the earth that kids, you know, we used to go out and play and didn't worry about anything like that when we were young, but now it really is a danger and a hazard, and kids are really getting a lot of melanoma very early. And so we're playing along with a couple of other local groups. All Hat No Cattle and Liz Tully are going to be there, and we're trying to pretty much raise awareness about this. And I'm glad you mentioned it, because a lot of people out in your neck of the woods may not be getting this same information, and I didn't really know that this was happening until last year when I did their benefit the year before.
Right.
So we're doing
right.
that well, this Saturday, and then the following Saturday, I'm sure we're going to talk about in a minute with Eddie.
That's right. That's right. And it's great cause, but we've got listeners all over the U.S., so if you're anywhere close to Gardnerville, Nevada, plan on being there for a great concert with Lacey
come,
J.
And
Dalton.
It's free. It's a free concert, and the ribs are unbelievable. I have heard that whoever's cooking the ribs for this event, which will be Saturday, August the 16th, the doors open at 4 o'clock for the food, and then the music starts right after that, right around 5, and that'll be Liz and Dale, All Hat No Cattle, and Lacey and Dale, my accompanist. We will be there, and again, it's free, but the ribs are worth the trip.
All right. Well, we're going to be talking with Eddie Floyd in just a minute, and Lacey will be joining us for that as we talk about Wainema Ranch and some activities that are going on there to help with the wild Mustang preservation. But before we do that, we're going to listen to Boundless Sky, and you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio.
Thank you. can go, where I'm one with the wind, blowing down off the snow, far beyond thought, down where the mighty rivers flow, one with the earth, one with the stars. I'm home under these boundless skies, in the canyons and the halls of eternity, where the eagle flies over fields of stone. When I'm here, I'm home. Souls alone, it can break free of the flesh and the bone. In these boundless skies, in the limitless light of the mystery, I am one with all in the great. I'm home. Here in this place, beyond time and space, beyond thought, beyond limitation, all that I've been, all that I'll be, lives in the light of creation. Boundless skies, in the canyons and the halls of eternity, where the eagle flies over fields of stone. When I'm here, I'm home. I can go, where I'm one with the wind, blowing down off the snow, far beyond thought, down where the mighty rivers flow, one with the earth, one with the stars. I'm home under these boundless skies, in the limitless light of the mystery, I am one with all in the great unknown. When I'm here, I'm home.
That's Lacey J. Dalton's Boundless Sky, and we're welcoming Eddie Floyd to the show. Eddie is the host of AM News on America Matters, and he also is co-host with Lacey on Mustang Matters that airs on Wednesday. Just one of the busiest guys I know, and he's been kind enough to be just hanging on the line. So, Eddie, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Gary. You both are going to love this, Lacey and you, Gary. We're in front of a live audience here at the Reno Town Mall, and then Craig made the announcement. He told everybody in the audience, he said, by the way, because we've been listening to you and Lacey, now everybody knows why I always say that's the most beautiful voice in music today, Lacey J. Dalton. And when Craig said, next up is Eddie Floyd, the lady in the second row said, what for? Why do we want to hear Eddie?
Oh, that didn't happen, Eddie. I know it didn't. Hey, welcome to the show, Eddie.
Thank you very much, Lacey. And I tell you what, I could sit there and listen to your music all day long.
Well, thank you, Eddie. You know, it's really a treat for me because I haven't listened to it since I made it. That was back in 2004, and I'm going, I could have done that better. That was kind of an off, you know. I mean, whenever I don't listen to my stuff much after I do it. I try to do it as well as I can, and then I listen to it years later and go, boy, I could have done that better. I could have done this better. I'm incredibly critical of my work. And yet, I think that CD, probably The Last Wild Place, is probably the best work I've ever done.
Well, I wouldn't change a thing about that. I just started to say I wouldn't change a thing. It's they're great. So,
well, you know, I don't know if everybody's like that. Maybe not. Hopefully not. But when I just never listen without critiquing what I've done. Going, gee, that timing was just a little bit off. It could have been just this much better. I think that's the thing about music that keeps me interested, because you can always get better. And, you know, I listened back to my voice in those days, and having had that car accident that kind of smashed my whole face. I mean, my nose was over by my ear, and my sinuses were all smashed. And sometimes I just sound kind of nasal to myself. Not that that hurts any of us. I mean, Willie Nelson has gone a long way. On the road again. But you know what I mean? I hear those kinds of things when I'm listening. You know, I guess we all do that to some extent, but it's kind of fun to listen to your old work and, you know, and think, gee, I could do that better now.
Well, it is fantastic. And Lacey, I know you said you had some appointments that you had to get to, so anytime, just let us know. But stay
well,
as long.
Well, I'll just insert, I can stay with you for a minute because, you know, I always like to be on the radio with Eddie, and I have become so impressed by Eddie's skill. Eddie has, in fact, Eddie can get me off this show in the most kind and polite way. He can say, and Lacey, it's been so great having you on the show today. And he can have like 2 seconds left to do that before break and still make me feel special. I have never learned how to do that. And I've watched him. I've been on the show with him for about a year and a half, and I still don't know how to do that as well as he does. But he's got a lot of news to tell you, and I'm going to shut up.
All right. Well, and we're tickled to death to have Eddie joining us. And there are a lot of things to talk about with Eddie. Eddie, if you would, I'd like for you to start out and tell us a little bit about Wainema Ranch and how that came about.
I sure will. As a matter of fact, Wainema Ranch was something that my wife and I, when I first met her now about 20 years ago, she was living out at the Wainema Ranch, and it wasn't called the Wainema Ranch at that time. She was just living on a piece of property. Wainema is actually my mother's name, and once she and I got married, we started adding to the property out there.
Right.
But then one day, you're going to love this, Gary, one day she called me up in the morning and said, because her and my wife, Shari, are very, very close, they're good friends, and she said, oh, I'm going to lunch with Lacey J. Dalton today, and I said, oh, that's great. And then later in the afternoon, Gary, she called me and said, well, I'd like to turn this into a wild horse sanctuary. Oh, whatever you want, honey. And next thing I knew, I came home and looked at over 100 wild horses out in the range. I said, honey, that's the last time you get to go to lunch with Lacey J. Dalton.
Goodness. Well, you know, and I was talking with Lacey a little bit earlier, and before our show started, I was going to ask you this, and while she's here to correct you or not, how did you and Lacey meet?
What's that? I'm sorry. How did I what?
How did you and Lacey meet?
Actually, believe it or not, we're talking decades ago. She was just a young girl when I was on the radio. And when I was at a mall that's no longer in existence here in northern Nevada, right there on the corner of what I say is Main Street and Main Street, Virginia and Plum Lane, used to be a mall called the Park Lane Mall. And I was one of the very first, if not the first, to do radio in front of a live audience. All of our shows are in front of a live audience. And every time that Lacey would be playing anywhere near Reno, Nevada, of course, she lives right up the hill at Virginia Highlands, but I would get on the phone and beg her to come on down to the Park Lane Mall and get behind the bubble of babble, because once again, we were in front of a live audience, and she would do it. And so we became friends. We became friends just that way.
Wow, wow, wow.
Well, and you know, Gary, always, from the very first times that I was on Eddie's show, he would always tell me that, you know, they had some wild horses, some Mustangs that they had adopted, and how he would love to have a wild horse sanctuary out on their 760-acre ranch. And so it kind of, he planted the seed early on.
Yes.
About it, and as the need became greater, as we rescued more and more horses from slaughter, we needed places that were larger to put them, and finally the Wainema Ranch has become that place.
And you know, Gary, I've got to jump in right now because Lacey was telling me about a program at the Carson City Prison for the state of Nevada where the prisoners actually gentle these horses. And so my wife went out there to an auction they were having to get rid of some. And, of course, we wound up with this really beautiful little mare who became part of the herd that we had at Wainema Ranch way before the herd of Mustangs. And, of course, who doesn't name their Mustang Sally, right?
You know, right. So, right.
We did that, and Sally, you know, threw some beautiful foals over the years. And then, like I said, it's a true pleasure to be out there right now. And when you get home, as soon as the rubber hits that dirt road on the Wainema Ranch, all the stress stays in town. And to see these beautiful horses run, it just does the heart really good. This is our American heritage. And I got to share something with you, too. If people don't know what I'm talking about, it's going to take eco-sanctuaries like the Wainema Ranch to preserve them. And I think what Lacey will probably attest to is that everybody has to come together if indeed we're going to save the breed. Am I right, Lacey?
It's really true. There, actually, there's a gentleman who's got a bill in Congress. It turns out that a lot of international corporations want the wild horses off the Western Plains, and they're so powerful they're going to get that done. That means
right.
We're not going to have any. And the sad thing is they're stockpiling. They're forcing the Bureau of Land Management to stockpile these horses. Some places where the long-term holding is nice, other places where the short-term holding is just corrals with no shelter from the sun or the wind. The horses are fed well. They're taken care of to a degree, but they're like Auschwitz. It's just
right.
It's not where our Western heritage needs to be. Our Western heritage needs to be in eco-sanctuaries that are self-sustaining and can grow their own hay, and where tourists can interact with these horses in a non-invasive way. The people can come from all over the world, and they can spend a day or two. Right now, you can spend a day or two at Wainema Ranch. They have a wonderful bunkhouse out there, and it's a very, very nice place to go camping and interact with the wild horses. Go out, Shari will put you in the pickup truck, and you can hop in the back and throw hay to some of these horses that we have on the sanctuary there. We're controlling their numbers with compassionate birth control. In larger sanctuaries, that may not even be necessary because they tend to control their own numbers in an enclosed environment. That knowledge is just starting to be verified by Princeton and some of the other universities that are doing studies on it. So if we have eco-sanctuaries, say, let's say in Standing Rock Reservation, which is most of the land in North and South Dakota, and the Indian people there are poor, what if they had a place where the government helped them get set up with a wild horse sanctuary and helped support it instead of just throwing money away on these long and short-term holdings that are very expensive? What if they had a place where they could employ some of these Indian people, where the Indian people could share their culture with people from all over the world and where they could share their horsemanship knowledge. What if we could do that? And there's a wonderful movie made by Willie Nelson, Sheryl Crow, Daryl Hannah, Viggo Mortensen, and Michael Blake. It's called Wild Horses and Renegades. And it tells, the former head of the Bureau of Land Management does tell the story and attests to the fact that these international corporations want the horses off the Western Plains. Why do they want them off the Western Plains? Because we notice when something is wrong with the wild horses. We care about the wild horses enough to actually notice when something isn't right, when the water's not good for them, or the water's been cut off to them, or the water's been diverted to do fracking or oil and gas or mining explorations or corporate ranching. So this is what's really happening, and it's real, and the public doesn't know it. We've had a hard time convincing the public. And when you have speakers such as Willie Nelson and Sheryl Crow and Viggo Mortensen and Daryl Hannah and Michael Blake, these are people with some stature, a lot of intelligence, and a lot of and huge followings of people. We still do not, the American people, who 82% of us want to preserve and protect the wild horses, we don't know this is happening. It's happening
right
behind our backs. It's happening right now in Wyoming. They're trying to clear out all the wild horses, all of them. Now, this is, you know, this is, and it's supposedly the ranchers. Well, I have to tell you, I'm just not certain that I think some of the corporate ranchers probably don't want them on there. When you figure, they say the horses are ruining the range. There are 6 million cattle, and at the most 50,000 horses. Do the math.
Right, right. Well, I know, and we've had some shows, Lacey, where we've had folks that have been on that are artists, Western artists,
mm-hmm.
and we've talked about the plight that the rancher has right now in keeping their land, and I don't think it's the rancher.
We have found, really, and I think Eddie and I are in agreement, not all wild horse advocates think that the wild horses need to be off the public lands, but I do believe that because they don't think they're safe there. They need their own places. You know, they don't need to be competing. We gave them 88 million acres where the horse was supposed to be the principal form of wildlife. That was in 1971 with the Wild Horses and Burro Act with
mm-hmm.
Wild Horse Annie. And Conrad Burns, who I call Raisin Heart, did a stealth rider on an appropriations bill and wiped out a lot of the protections on these wild horses. Well, that's fine. But the American taxpayer is the ones getting hurt. We
right.
are the people paying for these horses. They ought to have their own places where they don't have to be competing, and the cattlemen don't have to compete for the land. We can do 250,000-acre ranches that can grow hay. We can do that. We can do that, and we must do that if we want to save our American heritage and part of our Western heritage. You know, you've got a guy there in Nashville who has a wonderful television network called Blue Highway.
Right.
And Stan told me, he said, I think that what the American people have one great gift to give the rest of the world, and that is their Western heritage. The whole
Absolutely.
World loves the cowboy. Let's preserve some of it. Now, I am going to get it. I'm getting off this. I'm going away. Eddie Floyd has news. Eddie, please tell him about our big event. I love you. I'm out of here. Just knock me off that soapbox.
Gently
ease me off the show as you do other people, Eddie.
I'll be glad to.
Hey, Lacey, we love you. We want to have you come back and talk some more. We could do another hour show with you and listen to your music. So thanks for taking the time to be with us today.
It has been my great pleasure, Gary and Eddie, and I hope that we'll get to talk again.
Look forward to it.
All right.
Hey,
bye-bye.
Thanks, Lacey. Hey, Eddie, we want to take a break. There's a song that I want to play, one of Lacey's songs called Sanctuary, and I think that's going to lead us into our next conversation, and we want to talk about some more about Wainema Ranch. We want to talk about Final Breath that's coming up. And is your time good?
Absolutely fine. Waiting on you.
All right, great. Well, let's listen to The Sanctuary by Lacey J. Dalton. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, and when we come back, we'll talk more with Eddie Floyd.
Where do you go with a brand new foal? Ground froze solid neath the blowing snow. Sanctuary. Fought off the coyotes and fooled a lion. Got Black Hawk Creek in the back of her mind. Sanctuary. Sanctuary. There's a south side pocket where the rim rocks and turns. Cheatgrass water and the sun descending. If a colt's gonna make it, his life's dependent on sanctuary. On a canyon floor, the place that she's been looking for. She tests the wind until she's sure it's sanctuary. There's a south side pocket where the rim rocks and cheat grass water and the sun ascending. Lord, won't you give them some time to spend in sanctuary. Where do you go with a brand new foal? Sanctuary.
Sanctuary by Lacey J. Dalton. And Eddie, before we get into talking about Final Breath, would you tell our listeners about Mustang Matters and when it's on and how people can listen in?
I sure can, Gary. Thank you very much for that. Mustang Matters, and they can listen every single Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific time, 11 till noon, with Lacey J. Dalton and a whole group of advocacy, if you will, people, advocates for our American heritage, the wild horses and burros. And they can tune it in if they're in Nevada. It's 101.3 FM. And if they want to listen live, it would be renegaderadio.org. Or they can go to AmericaMatters.us, which is the name of our media company, and simply listen the live button. That's listen live at AmericaMatters.us. That's Mustang Matters. And by the way, that show is actually, if you will, produced, directed, and everything, and put on air by the Wainema Ranch, Gary.
Oh, that's great. That is great. Well, and while we're talking about radio, let's talk about AM News for just a minute, because we want people to tune in and listen to that show as well. So tell us when they can listen and where they can listen to that.
Well, thank you, Gary. As a matter of fact, I've been doing radio for over three decades, and AM News is without a doubt one of the greatest things I've been involved in, because when I tell the listeners it's not my show, it's theirs, it is correspondent-driven. We have 34 foreign correspondents in 26 foreign countries. We have correspondents ranging up to 60, you know, in every state in the United States. And what they do in that three-hour time frame from 6 a.m. until 9 a.m. Pacific time, they call in. They call in with weather, news, sports, and other updated community events in their community, and they actually drive the show, and I never know who's going to call. You know, a couple weeks ago, it was Jeff Foxworthy. Today, it was a gentleman named Kevin Jackson, who has his own very, very popular radio talk show on the Salem Network and other radio networks nationwide, and he called in today and was teasing me because a couple weeks ago Jeff Foxworthy called in and told the listeners that if they listened to AM News, they just might be a redneck.
Goodness. Well, I listen to the show. Actually, I've called in a couple of times, so I consider myself a kind of a Nashville correspondent for you guys. But great show, interesting. I listened a little bit this morning when you had the truck driver on, and we were talking about some of the things that were pretty interesting there as well. So good programming, and we want people to be able to tune in and enjoy that. Let's talk about the Mustangs just a little bit and Wainema Ranch. And aren't you doing a fundraiser to help with hay right now for the ranch?
As a matter of fact, thank you for that. And by the way, one real quick last thing today, I invite your listeners, because you have such a really wide base of listeners listening to you around the world. But today on AM News, a gentleman named Bill Bachman called in. He was on the highway, and he actually called in to AM News because he heard about AM News and how people could call in with different requests, different comments. He lost his daughter. She's missing since July 4th. Her name is Susan Bachman, and he lost her on I-80 up in Indiana. They're headed towards California now. There's been some sightings of her, and what makes this a difficult situation is the fact that Susan is suffering from a little bit of a mental disorder right now, and so it's something that they're desperately trying to get their daughter back. So that's where AM News comes in, because what I did was I got the word out. And so far, 19 truckers who happened to be on I-80, then they started texting in, calling in, and emailing and saying, we've got our eyes open for her. And that's what about AM News. And by the way, Gary, you are our number one Nashville correspondent there with any and everything that you need promoted. That's why we're there, period. But to get to the Wainema Ranch, I would like to tell our listeners that right now, if they'll write this down, they can visit us anytime. They can see Lacey J. Dalton at the Wainema Ranch. They can see my wife. And you know, Gary, you're going to get a kick out of this. I tell everybody the absolute truth, and that is the fact that my wife, Shari, she runs the ranch while I run my mouth on the radio. Okay. And they can check her out. They can go to WainemaRanch.com. That's very simple. WYNEMARanch.com. WYNEMARanch.com. By the way, our brand, because it used to be a cattle ranch, our brand is W with a hanging Y, and we still have that brand in California and Nevada. Of course, we don't hot brand any of the Mustangs, of course.
Right. Well, I tell you, I've seen photographs of you and Shari together, and you're kind of like me. We look better on radio than we would on TV. And but she really improves the photographs that the two of you are in. So check that out. But let's talk a little bit about Final Breath. That's pretty exciting project that you have.
All right, I'll be happy to. Now, about 4.5 years ago, I wrote a small little gift book, let's call it. It's a little love story, and it's called Final Breath. It's about an aging couple on a ranch, go figure, and every year, Grandma, which because the story is told by the grandson who was raised at the ranch, so there's a little bit of reality to this story. Every year, Grandma would ask Papa to find her for her birthday a flower, but she didn't want him to pick it. She wanted him to find the flower and then come back to the cabin, grab her, and as the sun went down, take her to the special flower to celebrate her birthday. And it just so happens that they lay down next to this particular flower, and they hold hands while they take their final breath together. And I won't share the end of the story because it has a totally different ending, but a lot of people were interested in the little love story, and one gentleman, Michael Cutt, grabbed it, turned it into a screenplay for film, and the next thing I knew, we had people involved like Harvey Lowry. He's won 2 Academy Awards, and also there's other people now, Nancy Crist, a lot of people involved, and it secured the interest, but I think one of the things that impresses me, and it's not my film, you know, it's their film, but when it comes to the Wainuma Ranch, someone who you and I both know made this comment, and they said, you know, get involved with any of your filming at the Wainuma Ranch, and right now there's 3 other people who want to go out and shoot because of the Mustangs and quite frankly, the surroundings of the Wainuma Ranch. They want to shoot documentaries, commercials, and 2 other films out there. And the comment was, which really hit home with me, was Wainuma Ranch is going to become the Sundance of Western film. Because, you know, Gary, one of the things that's really upsetting to me is if you want to pack up your children or grandchildren and take them to a film today, it's few and far between you're going to find a good family moral film, and that's what we want out at the Wainuma Ranch, especially when it comes to our Westerns.
Oh, that's great. Well, we posted a little promotional video that you have on that, and I think was it Robert Duvall that said that the Westerns were our contribution, just like so many other artists did contribute other things to the
world. You know, it's so, thank you, Gary, that's so true. When you think, you know, there's different things that every country has to offer the world, and I don't care what country you're talking about, there have always been really wonderful people who and wonderful countries that offered something to the world. But when it comes to the United States of America, I don't care what anybody says, it's the Western that we have. The Western, and his exact quote is, the Western is ours, period.
Right, right. Well, you know, we have listeners, and we've actually done shows with some guests from Germany, and I think one of the largest Western stores in the world is in Germany, so they love that Western lifestyle, and I think that's true all across the world. They just enjoy the cowboy spirit and the moral of the cowboy, and one of the things that we like to do on Campfire Cafe is to have these Western artists because I think it really is the folk story of America today.
You know, and Gary, I could not agree with you more. When I deal with the people in the course, all the shows we do, including my AM News, Mustang Matters, and 43 other talk shows that I'm not involved in, but they're part of America Matters Media here at the Reno Town Mall. So we get guests from all around the world. You know, they could come from China, Japan, Germany. As a matter of fact, a dear friend came from Germany, older Germany. Her name's Maria. She's a correspondent on AM News. Actually came and visited the United States for the first time, and that's all that she wanted. wanted to see. She wanted to follow the gold route that we have here on the West Coast and get involved with old ghost towns, et cetera, and then came and got on set with us. And when she left and went back to Olde, Germany, bless her heart, she turned right around and sponsored a little filly that was born at the Wainema Ranch and named it after the nickname of her daughter in Olde, Germany. So you've got people around the world that care. They want to get involved with saving these horses.
Well, they do, and there's some heightened interest, I think, right now, and we were talking a little bit about that earlier, and the fact that right now BLM is doing some massive roundups. I think there was a roundup that was scheduled for about 800 Mustangs, and that has been delayed due to some type of a lawsuit or a restraining order that's been placed. So,
Are you talking to Sheldon Range, Gary? Is that the one?
I believe that's right. I believe that's right.
Okay, the Sheldon Range, and the reason probably why the lawsuit is very, very simple. You know, sometimes government, you know, will decide, well, we need to do this, or a particular agency will say, we need to do this, and they don't check back in history. The Sheldon Range is where President Wilson himself pardoned the remaining, if you will, herd band of horses. He pardoned. They weren't Mustangs. They were horses that were used in World War I, and we needed a place to put them all. So what he did was he pardoned them from World War I, gave them all medals, put them out on the Sheldon Range, and said in, you know, legislation that they and every one of their ancestors will live there for the rest of their lives. And here they're trying to round them up. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, the public just needs to have more awareness of what's going on, and we've got to protect these wild horses, and that's just an atrocity to try to do that on that particular Sheldon Range. Eddie, let's talk a little bit more about the movie, because I know you've got some pretty neat folks that are in the movie, and talk to us a little bit about that, and who do you have as stars in there?
Well, you know what? Thank you very much, because, you know, I'll just name a handful of those that I know, okay, that are involved in Final Breath, the movie, and that is a couple that not only do I know, but personally, but you do too, Gary, because we're going to be playing and have some appearances with Murph, Michael Martin Murphy. You know,
right.
He's got the script. He said that he would absolutely get involved. And also, the sweetheart, the jewel of Texas, I call her, and that's none other than little Kristen Harrison. Right now, what you got? Two out of the top 10 songs that are played by disc jockeys when it comes to Western music, she's got two, number two and number four. Little Kristen Harris is in that particular movie. And, of course, our very own, and you had her on for the first hour, Lacey J. Dalton. She actually has the lead role in that entire movie.
Well, it's going to be great. And if I'm not mistaken, she's playing Grandma in the movie?
Yeah, she's playing Grandma, so the makeup artist better be damn good, I'll tell you.
Gosh. Well, we're looking forward to that. Now, have you started production on it yet?
As a matter of fact, what you saw and what you posted on the social media, Facebook, that's what they call a sizzle reel, okay?
Right.
And what that is to show people, here's what's coming. If you'd like to get involved, there's several ways to get involved. If you're looking for a job, there's several ways to get involved. If you're looking to invest in a movie, which so many people in our country should do, as opposed to right now, number one movie maker in the world is India. Okay.
Right.
And
right.
We even have some East Indian dear friends of mine who are interested in getting involved in the American Western, and I love that. Okay, because we need to get these type of movies out to the public. They have shot several scenes. The movie's not put together yet. So the way movies work is all Greek to me, quite frankly. You know, I just am fortunate enough to have this movie based on a little love story that I wrote. And
right.
It's an honor in that regard, but people can follow it too, Gary. They can go. There is a Facebook site called Final Breath, and also there'll be a URL. It'll have its own URL here within the next week, 10 days, and they can follow it there, too. I think they're trying to shoot end of September, first part of October. As long as that coordinates with other films and documentaries and also commercials that are being shot out there, there's people right now trying to get a hold of Ford Motor Company. Okay,
right.
Because you know, if anything, this is the anniversary, the 50th anniversary of the Mustang. So,
You
know, it'd be wonderful, and apparently they've been in contact with some of the people at the Wainema Ranch because they're thinking about shooting some commercials out there, and they're trying to get a hold of the right people to do that right now. That coupled with some real live documentaries so that we can preserve these horses are being done. And like I said, I'm excited because the Wainema Ranch, I'm looking forward to it simply being the Sundance of Western film.
Well, that's great. Well, I'm looking forward to that as well, looking forward to the movie when it comes out. Now, and correct me if I'm wrong, Eddie, but is there a crowdfunding, I think is the term, to help with the movie through Indiegogo? Is that correct?
You know, to my knowledge, because I'm not involved with that end of it, okay, the best thing to do would be to click on that sizzle reel, okay? And you've got it on hopefully your and any other website, because if they'll go to mine, they'll see it there. And I want to thank you for following up on that, because that sizzle reel does belong, you know, to the film crew, not to yours truly or the Wainema Ranch. They do have Lacey J. Dalton narrating that sizzle reel and even a photo of my wife and I in that sizzle reel. But I believe it's Indiegogo, and also there's some private funding. It's a low-budget film, and it's not that expensive of a film. I think it's right around what they told me was like $1.2 million, and they've already raised well over half of that right now.
Oh, that's
so
great.
I'm excited about their efforts and what they're doing, because let me tell you something. When they came to me, and I'll say this right now, and this can be verified, when they came to me and said, can we do a film about your book, and can we shoot it at the Wainema Ranch, we're not getting paid for that. And when it comes to the book, and when it comes to any and all profits from the book or from the film, they are all going, every penny of profit is going to the horses at the Wainema Ranch, period.
Oh, that's great. Well, let me ask about the book. Where can people purchase the book?
Okay, the book actually will be out this week. As a matter of fact, let me tell you the best thing to do. The best thing to do is the book will be coming out any day now. They held back on it once the film started. Okay, the book will come out in hard copy form and also on, if you will, internet. What do they call that? Virtual book, you know,
right,
e-book.
Right. E-books.
Okay, the e-book and the hard copy will be coming out this week. The best thing right now for your listeners, Gary, to do, because I'm not in control, a lady named Jan Hermson, who is my manager and publicist, she's the one in control of that. But to my knowledge, within a matter of days, it'll be on WainemaRanch.com or it'll be on AmericanEmall.com. Those, if you will, two websites are real easy for our listeners to find, because that's just Wainema Ranch, WYNEMARanch.com or AmericanEmall.com, and then you'll be able to see the book and other. By the way, all of the gifts you'll find there, all of the products you'll find there, every one of them go to our wild horses, Gary. And by the way, also, I wanted to share with you, I'm very proud of my wife, because she does have some ranch hands out there. She's got Lori Barrett. She's got Emmeline Roberts. She's got Gene Barnes. And she has Joe Spotted Bear, an Ogallala Sioux, and he lives at the ranch and works there at the ranch. So do the rest of those people. But other than them, my wife, nor I, nor anybody involved in management of Wainema Ranch, nobody receives a salary or one penny from any funding or donation. It all goes to the horses.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic. That is absolutely fantastic. Well, we want to talk about one more thing. We're running a little short on time, but I know that there is an event that's coming up August the 23rd. And can you talk to us a little bit about that?
I sure can, and I'll be as fast as you want me to. It's August 23rd. It's in Virginia City up on the Comstock at the Silverland Inn and Suites up there, thanks to Hugh Roy Marshall and Robert Steiner and Lacey J. Dalton. They've put it together. It kicks off 10 o'clock in the morning, pancake breakfast. There'll be a parade. I have the honor of actually being the MC for the parade and the MC for the entertainment in the evening. There'll be booths. There'll be things that people can take a look at, arts and crafts, with all the proceeds once again going to the horses. And then in the afternoon, the Mustang Car Club has a show and shine, and at 4:30, a Ogallala Sioux is going to start the entire event with a prayer in Lakota, and flute music, followed by two other American Indians who are going to do percussion, and then yours truly gets to get up on stage with Wild Willie and host the entire event. And the entertainers, Gary, are going to be none other than our very own Lacey J. Dalton, Dale Poney. There's going to be All Hat, No Cattle, Willis Lamb, the Mountain Girls, world-renowned cowboy poet Harold Roy Miller. And also, we have at the end of the show, we have David John and the Comstock Cowboys. So it's going to be a tremendous event. And here's the amazing thing. With all that entertainment, all of the other events are absolutely free, and all of that entertainment is only $20 a ticket. Can you believe that?
Oh, wow. That's unbelievable. That is unbelievable.
Yes.
Well, people need to put that on their calendar for August the 23rd. That is the Wild Horse Fair at Virginia City, Nevada. And I think that there is a flyer, if I'm not mistaken, posted on Mustang Matters Facebook page.
So there sure is. As a matter of fact, they will see a flyer posted on Mustang Matters. They'll see a flyer posted on Wainema Ranch. They'll see a flyer posted on AM News, too, throughout the week, all the way up until the event, Gary.
All right, and we'll post that on Equestrian Legacy Radio's Facebook page as well, so you can check it out there. And we'll try to put that on our website as well, Eddie, so that people can check it out at equestrianlegacy.net. You are one of the busiest guys that I know. Is there anything else coming up that we need to talk about?
You know what? Let me tell you what's coming up that we need to talk about. We need to talk about the great job you're doing right there, right outside of Nashville, because I tell you, you won't believe the fan base that ever since you called in to AM News, I'm getting more and more inquiry about your show, and I'm directing them to your link. And right now I'd like to say hi to everybody who's been involved with AM News who right now is listening to you, Gary, because you do such a phenomenal job. So when it comes to upcoming events, it has to do with Gary Holt and anything you've got coming.
Well, I appreciate that. I will mention, and we're kind of early on this, but I'm just going to go ahead and mention this for folks that are listening. We put on a fundraising benefit ride for the Fiona Rose Murphy Foundation. And that is a foundation that our mutual friend Michael Martin Murphy set up, named after his granddaughter, Fiona. It raises money to help kids that are suffering with osteogenesis imperfecta, which is brittle bone disease, and they help a lot of kids with the foundation. But we have a national trail ride coming up the first week of June, June 4th, 5th, and 6th, and we'll be having a three-day event at the Circle E Guest Ranch just outside of Nashville. Some tremendous entertainers that will be there, and we're going to name those a little bit later, but you know who probably will be there. He was this past year, and we're real excited in the fact that the Craig Cameron's Extreme Cowboy Race National Championship is going to be part of our event this year for 2 days. So, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have great entertainment every night and a lot of activities and some beautiful trails for folks to ride on, and that's to help these kids that are suffering with brittle bone disease. All the proceeds go to the Fiona Rose Murphy Foundation. And I know you talked with Murph a little bit about that last year for the first event, and again, it's a little bit early, but we're announcing a few things as they come on board that are as exciting as this Extreme Cowboy National Championship that we'll have. So thank you for mentioning that, and thanks for your listeners listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, and I look forward, Eddie, to actually meeting you in person.
Boy, I look forward to the same thing, and just to tag on what you said about Michael Martin Murphy, you know, the last time I talked to Murph about that particular event, you know, in for his granddaughter and any and all suffering from brittle bone disease, I told him, and I'm going to say it again right now, we're going to do everything possible to see that the Wainema Ranch coordinates so that we, too, are one of the guest ranches nationwide that join forces, you know, link arms nationwide, coast to coast, border to border, for this particular event. And we look forward to setting that on our calendar to be able to, that people can come in celebration of that at the Wainema Ranch, too.
Well, I appreciate that so much, and I know we'll be talking about that more in the next few days, too. But anyway, we've been talking with Eddie Floyd. He is the host of AM News on American Matters, as well as co-host with Lacey J. Dalton on Mustang Matters. And check out the website. You can find links to their show. Will be on our website as well. And Eddie, thank you so very much for taking the time to be with us and for holding on and listening as long as you did while we were talking with Lacey.
No, you know, Gary, I could listen to you and Lacey all day long. So it's a pleasure. It's an honor. And I look forward to having you on AM News and also anything in the future we can do to cross-promote. I look forward to that as well, my friend.
Well, thanks so much. Thank you, Eddie Floyd. We're going to take a break before we go into our closing part of the show, and we're going to listen to Lacey J. Dalton's Listen to the Wind. And Eddie Floyd, thank you again so much for being with us.
Thank you, Gary.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
Had a lover out in Santa Cruz, but I left him the same. Listen to the wind, listen to the wind. Thought that I'd left love behind, but love is just a state of mind. Listen to the wind, listen to the wind. Listen to the wind and the driving rain. Listen close, you hear I'm saying that what goes round come around again. Listen to the wind. Made a lot of music and it got me high, but Nashville left me high and dry. Listen to the wind. Listen to the wind. I got so cold I almost froze, but something whispered to my soul. Listen to the wind. Listen to the wind and the driving rain. Listen close, you'll hear I'm saying that what goes round will come around again. Listen to the wind. Everybody needs somebody to see them through. Everybody needs someone like I need you. I need you. Court-appointed president. Listen to the wind. Listen to the wind. This old world's wild. She won't be tamed. The only thing you can trust is change. Listen to the wind. Listen to the wind. Listen to the wind and the driving rain. Listen close, you hear I'm saying that what goes round will come around again. Listen to the wind. Everybody needs somebody to see them through. Everybody needs someone like I need you. I need you. Had a lover out in Santa Cruz, but I left him to sing the blues. Listen to the wind. 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 Ha. Ha. Ha.
That's Lacey J. Dalton's Listen to the Wind, and I have enjoyed so much having our guest, Lacey J. Dalton, join us and share her music, as well as Eddie Floyd with great information on Wainema Ranch and the Wild Mustangs. We invite you to join us next Tuesday night for Saddle Up America. We'll be talking with Josh Gwynn about trail survival, and we'll be visiting Circle E Guest Ranch in the beautiful Cumberland Mountains of Tennessee at 7 o'clock on Tuesday evening. That's 7 p.m. Central Time for Saddle Up America with Legacy Equestrian Legacy Radio. And then next Thursday, Susanna Gibson with Trailblazer Magazine will join us as well as a special guest. Thanks for listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, and as always, we remind you, if you climb in the saddle, get ready for the ride. Thanks for listening.
Well, you come from California, you come from Kansas too. Some come down from Canada, or maybe Timbuktu. Well, some of you have money, more of you have none. But you're all looking for something, every mother's son. Say you're feeling burned out, you could use a little space. Come on in, you restless heart, the last wild place. Well, some of us are scared to live, some are scared to die. Some of us will tell the truth, and more of us will lie. Well, some are born to fool around, some love only one. Some hearts have been broke so bad, they cannot trust no one. And you say you're feeling burned out, you could use a little space. Welcome home, you restless heart, to the last wild place. Feel that wind that's softly blowing, the sun that's smiling on your face. That honey wine, it's always flowing here in the last wild place. Glad to see you.
cousin. Come on, dance, it's no disgrace. Don't look back, it don't mean nothing. Here in the last wild place, there are those who live for power and those who live for fame. Those who love the gold too much do anything for gain. For the brave among us fight the fight, coward always wrong. Every soul has secrets, boys, every single one. Hey, say you're feeling burned out, you could use a little space. It's right there in your restless heart, in the last wild place. We're so glad to see you, cousin. Let your hair down, it's no disgrace. Don't look back, it don't mean nothing. Here in the last wild place. Hey, we're so glad to see you dancing. Come on, laugh, it's no disgrace. Don't look back, it don't mean nothing. Here in the last wild. Here in the last one, here in the last.